Welcome again to our study on the book of Judges. And as I've said before, we're not going to study every judge. There are 13 of them. One, an apostate, Abimelech, who was self-appointed, and the other 12 who might be, shall I say, broken into two parts, major and minor, and we've chosen Othniel, Deborah, Gideon, and Samson as our major judges, and we are studying their lives to learn much from them. Well, we come now to Gideon. And let us look at the historical setting at the time of Gideon. The Midianites are in the land, and the Midianites are like a horde with all their cattle. In fact, they eat up all the produce of Israel, and Israel are greatly impoverished because of these Midianites. Why are the Midianites there? Well, it's simply the old story. As we said before, you know, the children of Israel were at rest under Deborah. But then after Deborah, they rebelled again. And God brought the Midianites. Who are the Midianites? Well, the Midianites actually are relatives. They are from Midian, the son of Abraham, by Keturah, his third wife. And here we are. God brings the nation of Midianites with all their cattle, all their hordes. They swarm over all the country. And you see, at harvest time, the Israelites did their very best to hide their grain so that the Midianites would not come and take it. They were so impoverished. And it was at a situation like this, when the children of Israel are crying out, repenting before God, because of the dearth in the land, that the angel of the Lord comes to a man and his father, to a man, and he is winnowing the grain secretly so he might hide it from the Midianites, so impoverished. And the angel of the Lord comes and says, O thou mighty man of God. Well, he said it to Gideon. And Gideon means warrior, warrior. In other words, preordained of God to become a judge, a ruler, a deliverer. And, you know, Gideon looks at the angel. He said, how come? How come, he said, look, all these miracles in the past, God opening up Jordan, God doing wonders through the wilderness, opening up the Red Sea. But now God has left us. Look at our impoverished condition. No blessing from the Lord whatsoever. And essentially the angel was saying, well, it's because of all your sins. Sins of the nation. But he said, by you, God will give deliverance. Well, the angel leaves, you see, and Gideon is obviously a pious man, and Gideon looks, you know, at his father's household and so forth. And there is an image to Baal, And he cuts it down. You see, this was the problem with Israel. They turned to other gods. Now, those other gods, oh, you look at them as pieces of wood and stone and so forth. They were that. But the Apostle Paul gives us an understanding that, you know, those that were worshipping those graven images of wood or stone, In reality, behind them, inhabiting them, were demons. And you see, demons have their own personality. And what you worship, you become like. And they were worshipping Baal with all, shall I say, the wickedness that is associated with that, the immorality. And the result was, you see, that from their heart, the children of Israel were like those images they were worshipping. And far from God. So that's why God brought the Midianites to them. So the first thing that Gideon does is to deal with his own household. And he brings down that image of Baal, which was worshipped not only by his own house, but also by the people around. And that's what you have to do. You know, if you're going to serve God and God speaks to you, you must deal with your own heart first. You must deal with the things in your own life. A leader must not have flaws. If he does, the work that God has entrusted to him will fall. And we shall see that Gideon, although he deals with this statue, there's something else that he never dealt with in the whole of his life, that in spite of the great victories that he had, brought down the nation of Israel. And I cannot overemphasize the importance of this, that we must as leaders deal with things in our own life. Because if those things are allowed to remain, those things will bring down our ministry. And how many ministers, perhaps that we know personally, have had, shall I say, much blessing in their life, but their end has been dismal because they haven't dealt with flaws in their life. You know, God wants to give us an abundant blessing like the sea, an abundance of blessing. But, you know, how are we going to handle that blessing? Well, we're going to look now at Gideon. Gideon is told by God that he's going to deliver the nation of Israel from the Midianites. An angel has visited him. But here we're going to see the flaw in Gideon's life. Gideon says to God, now if you have really spoken to me, and after all an angel had come, could be nothing more clear than that. He said, look, here is a fleece. I'll lay it on the ground. And he said, in the morning, let all the earth around be wet, but let the fleece be dry. And then I'll believe that you have spoken to me. Well, he got up in the morning, and of course God hearkened to him, and the fleece was dry. And then Gideon says this. He said, he comes to the next evening and he says, oh God, don't be angry with me, but would you reverse it this time? So I'm really sure that you have spoken to me. And so he said, this time let the earth around, you know, be dry and the fleece be wet. Following morning, got up, the earth was perfectly dry, and the fleece was soaking wet, so that when he wrung it, buckets full of water came out. Now, this is the problem, you see. Well, so, God says to him, now you're to go against the Midianites. Now, God, of course, is well aware with, you know, our problems. And he says this, you know, if you are afraid, go down to the Midianite camp at night with a friend of yours. Go down and listen to what the Midianites are saying. They're down in the valley, and they're like a horde, tremendous army. And so Gideon goes down into the valley, and he listens to the Midianites, one Midianite speaking to another in the tent. And one Midianite is saying to the other, he said, I had a dream. And essentially the dream was that it was like corn, barley, it came down and, just covered the whole ground, you see. And the other one gave the interpretation and said, that must be Gideon. He's going to overcome us. And immediately fear comes into the camp of the Midianites. And Gideon has heard this. He's been encouraged. And so, what happens? Well, he goes back. Now, he has about 30,000 men. And God says to him, too many. I can't possibly give you the victory with 30,000 men. Because you will say that by your right arm, you've gained the victory. In other words, you've conquered the Midianites. And I want to make it very clear that it's I who'm giving the victory, not by your own strength. So he said, tell all those that are discouraged and those who are tired and so forth, who want to go home, let them go home. 20,000 left him. He had 10,000 left. And there's a host of the Midianites. You would have thought, 10,000, surely it's going to show that God has got the victory. And God said, no. He said, it's too much for me. He said, if you gain the victory with 10,000, you're going to take the honor to yourself. And so he said, bring them to the book and I will test them. I will test them. And he said, let them drink. Let them drink. Now, how they drink will determine whom you will choose. And so some, you see, just put their head, as it were, into the water and lapped like a dog, you see. Others took up the water and drank, their eyes still on the enemy. The Lord said, those are the ones that are to be chosen. And you know, there's a lot of truth here that we must not miss. You know, God tries us. And you know, that 10,000, there wasn't a trumpet blown, and God said, now I'm going to test you. And those who drink like a dog, they're out, and those that drink from their hand with their eyes still on the enemy, they're in. Oh no, they had no idea that they were being tested. And you know, there are times in our lives when God is testing us and we have no idea that the test is taking place or that we are qualifying for a higher position. We have no idea. We have no idea. And so that was the case with the Gideonites. You see, there was another situation much later in the history of children of Israel, and it concerned the godly king Hezekiah. And in scripture it said, God was with Hezekiah, did remarkable things through Hezekiah, and then left him, to see what was in his heart. And essentially it was the king of Babylon, his princes came, and Hezekiah, his heart was lifted up in pride, showed them all the treasures that he had gained from the battles and the like. And that was a trial, see. God left him to see what was in the trial. Result was he lost all those treasures. Now then, you know, in life, there are testings, there are examinations. We know, of course, from our experience at school, that at the end of each term, and generally midterm and so forth, and sometimes each week, we are given examinations. We are given tests. And upon those tests determine if we go forward or not. Well, we know full well that a test is coming, and we study for it. We prepare ourselves for it. But you see, with God, there are sometimes occasions when we have no idea that we are being tested. No idea whatsoever that we're being tested. And we are in a situation, and how we handle ourselves and what we do in that situation is going to determine how God deals with us. You know, in a very minor situation, there was a certain pastor and his wife, and his wife said, I like a new dress. And the pastor said, no, we can't afford a new dress. So the Lord spoke to him. He said, as you deal with your wife, so I will deal with you. Well, that changed everything. She got her new dress, and afterwards she was well cared for, because the pastor wanted to be well cared for by God. But there you have a situation whereby God said, now look, this is your test. But you know, it's very true. How we look after others determines how God is going to look after us. And if we will care for others, God will care for us. You know, it is known, you know, what you sow, you will reap. And there was a certain, shall I say, advertisement on TV from United Airlines, you know, calling themselves the Friendly Airlines. All right? And so what was this advertisement all about? Well, basically, it was that a man, you know, the aircraft had come to a halt at the jetway, and everybody was getting up, and a man got up, and there was a lady. She couldn't reach her luggage. And so the man, naturally being taller, just lifts it up, helps her, and she's on her way. Well, now the cameras follow this man. And he has a need. He's outside the airport, and the last taxi comes along, and somebody hops in, you know, just before him in the line. There's no more. And then, about to close the door, the man who's in the taxi says, may I help you? Can I take you someplace? And this fellow, with deep gratitude, hops in. The point of this advertisement was this: you're friendly to others, you'll reap. Well, it's true with God. You know, what you sow, you will also reap. But also, there's a sense here concerning, you know, this 9,700 armed men. What was their test? Well, their eyes were not on the enemy. Their eyes were on their own needs. And I would tell you this, that we can interpret that in a very real sense and an awesome sense. And it is this, that, you know, if we take our eyes off the vision that God has given, and we look to our own needs, we shall find that we will miss God. We'll miss God. How many people, you know, they start their ministry, generally speaking, in very reduced circumstances, perhaps in poverty. But God has spoken to them, look, I'm going to enlarge you. And I'm going to prosper you, and I'm going to cause your tent to enlarge, if I could say this. I'm going to give you many places for your inheritance. And you know what happens when these people receive all this money? So often they use it for their own selves. Buy houses, extraordinarily extravagant houses. They use the money that God had intended for the ministry. They had taken their eyes off the goal. And the result is they disqualify themselves for something greater that God in actuality has for them. Don't be like that. Remember these armed men, those that qualified, yes, met their needs, but they had their eyes on the goal. And that's what we want to have too. Well, we continue. And we have to make note of the fact that God says 300. And the number 300, what is its significance? Well, to understand Scripture, you go back to the law of first mention. And the first mention of 300 is concerning Enoch. And it says, and he lived 300 years afterwards and walked with God. And you find this measurement, 300, in the length of the Ark of Noah. You find it in the perimeter of the tabernacle of Moses. You find it elsewhere, and the reason is this. God is saying, look, these blessings are for those who walk with me. And those 300 walked with God. Their eyes were on the vision. Their eyes were on the goal. Their eyes were on the enemy. Their eyes were on the purpose that God had selected them at that time. And the result was God gave them a mighty victory. A mighty victory. Gideon simply divided them into three groups of 100 with lanterns that were covered, goes into the camp of the Midianites, and there he commands that the sheath be taken off the lamps. The lamps are suddenly there, and the Midianites are thrown into confusion. They start killing themselves and so forth, and God gives a mighty victory. Well, be nice if the life of Gideon had finished there by a few other verses saying, well, yes, afterwards he brought peace. Well, afterwards he, you know, went against the enemy around and got mighty victories. But this is not how we're going to, unfortunately, close the life of Gideon. You see, Gideon was fearful. And that fear, you know, caused him to ask for the fleeces. You know, God recognizing that fear and trying to deliver him from it caused a dream to be given to that Midianite soldier. And that gave Gideon confidence. But you see, now we come to a time of rest. And here is the problem. You see, that fear is always in Gideon. And when you've got a problem and a flaw with the leader, that so often is transmitted to the whole of the nation. And so Gideon makes an ephod. And essentially an ephod was a garment with pockets in. And they went to this ephod, and they would, this is just a garment, and they would ask a question, and they put in their hand and pull out a stone. If it was black, it was no. If it was white, it was yes, and so forth. But it says this, the whole of Israel went a-whoring after that ephod. What was the problem? Well, the problem was this. They were going to that ephod. You know, it's like witchcraft. They're saying, if I pull out this, it will be that. The answer will be that and that. You see, what was happening, that ephod was between them and God. You know, we mustn't be like that. You know, touch wood or something like that. No. We've got to ensure that all fear is taken from our lives. And we must learn that we are to go to God and God alone and ask him and say, Lord, what is your will in this matter? Certainly we can go to a pastor and ask godly counsel too. But in effect, we're still going to God because we're believing that God will speak through the pastor. But here is Gideon. You see, that flaw that was manifested, you know, right from the time that the angel spoke to him on the winnowing floor, you know, remained with him the whole of his life. And the result is it sent essentially the children of Israel into witchcraft. What I'm saying is this. Make sure that the flaws that we are birthed with are dealt with by God, so that we don't impart them to others, but we only impart the pure goodness of God into the lives of those for whom we are responsible. And then, you see, Gideon should have had a wonderful inheritance, but the result was, it was a disaster. And there was the apostate Abimelech who rose up afterwards and slew all the sons of Gideon. He would have had a wonderful inheritance if only he had dealt with the flaw. Deal with the flaw in your life and you'll have a wonderful everlasting inheritance. God bless you.